Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, it is now or never, and I think the two words we're going to be using a lot nowadays is invigorating and educating, because I believe they kind of go hand in hand, especially in the patriotic movement, because I believe patriots are invigorated when they're educated, because they don't know what really works, they don't know what to do, and not to take away a penny of the onslaught, this flood of millions of dollars going towards 2,000 mules. The work was, you know, hard effort. It was very entertaining, and it's very insightful. It doesn't provide any conclusive, real solutions other than the fact that we've got real problems, folks. So if it helps you to spend money on understanding we have real problems, you'd think that people would actually, you know, be throwing money, not down the drain, but throwing all their money in. They'd be all in on getting involved in the solution. There's nobody. Every constitutional expert, as we have proven, even party chairs, even people active in politics, agree with what we are asserting regarding First Amendment petitions, regarding getting people accurately educated specifically on these tools, these things that we have in the Constitution to enforce it. Nobody argues and refutes what I'm saying. They can't even refute Republic Review. My point is this. It's not patting myself on the back, because the true credits go to, I'll just say, the divine hand of providence, who inspired and helped Jefferson and Madison illuminate these things for us to find. I don't have, and I have not read all the books that they have read and been exposed to all of the great orations and all of those types of things that exist out there that they have been exposed to. I just don't. But I've at least, again, the divine hand of providence guided in reading and finding and being able to connect the dots to say, you know what? You don't have to be a genius to recognize that this is the process. This is what they were doing. This is what we have to do. Now, in today's world with intellectual property, we're going to get into property again regarding the comprehensive constitutional campaign in moving our government back towards the Constitution. So we're going to get into, because we were just talking about property. We talked about the conscientious property, and now we're talking about state property. So I want to rush into that, but I also want to mention that today it is our 993rd episode. Big deal. Big deal, folks. We're wrapping up and we're coming to 1,000. And so actually, if you really think about it, the number one show, because the 10th show is technically the 9th, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Actually, so that ends the decade. So the first new one of the new series would be on Monday. So anyway, it's kind of like the millennium. If you look at the year 2000, the year 2000 was not really the millennium. It was the last year of the 2000, was the last year of the millennium. And the new millennium begins on the first day of 2001. Well, it's the same thing with this whole episode counting. But nevertheless, it's a big deal. I mean, having 1,000 episodes under one's belt, you know, kind of makes it a little easier. You definitely get a little bit of self-confidence in just sitting in front of a microphone and talking for hours and hours and hours. 1,000 hours at least. Anywho, what I want to do is I want to share a quote with you. This is a quote that I learned that was actually, I think I got this from a teacher that was one of those teachers that had the responsibility, felt like they were anointed to help create communists in our high school way back in the 70s. These were ideologues that wanted people to get on board with the government solution, but a very specific ideology of government were communism, not conservatism, not, you know, what they considered the opposing at the Republican side. These were the Democrats. And these were the days where it wasn't really evident that the Democrats, because they couldn't come right out and say they were supporting homosexual marriage. They couldn't come right out and say they were supporting all of these really dark, evil things. I mean, abortion was just coming out of the closet in the 70s. And abortion wasn't necessarily a Democrat or a Republican issue as much until the 70s started really moving forward as the lines became a little bit clearer and clearer and clearer. Because why? The Roe v. Wade was not a Democrat-Republican argument. It was a legal argument that both parties allowed. This is why both parties like to defer to the justice or the judiciary to actually do their dirty work for them. Oh, yeah, we're going to let this happen. Just had another conversation with a person today regarding the fact that if this does get undone, if they unring this bell, then the Democrats will do, they'll hang themselves in trying to stack the court this year. They will work at breakneck speed because I think they understand that they may not, because with the reality, if we move through this 2022 campaign with the reality, the Democrats, one, want to stack the court to basically pervert the laws the way they want to, that they will restore both the Roe v. Wade as well as, I'm going to tell you, at a minimum, they're going to legalize organ harvesting and using fetal tissue and babies. And I believe that they're close to actually getting the sentiments of having the Supreme Court pass a law that allows infanticide. That is even it's an equally dark, evil proposition that is putting America in moral jeopardy, you know, along with all of these other things. Okay, so to be clear, we're already in this moral jeopardy space with all of these different problems that the Democrats and the Republicans have allowed to occur. Yes, the Republicans, they equally support this because they're both hand in hand, skipping down the road, whistling away with the globalists guiding them. I will tell you that I believe a snapback will occur, but I believe that snapback will be into the arms of, I'll just say, the Antichrist. We're getting set up. I was just throwing it out there, but there's reality to this. Who knows? Elon Musk may become the president of the world. He's already basically bragging about how great Skylink is in helping these other countries. Well, as we know, Skylink is the big brother of monitoring and will open the door for full access of monitoring, communications, and everything that in the hands of evil people can be really a dark tool. But back to this quote. So this quote I received, there was no doubt in my mind, the teacher that gave it to me was a communist. I didn't realize it at the time until actually I had gone through school, and then I started looking at my class and everybody else that seemed to have come from the same school. How many of these people are just absolutely awed at the fact that how many of them embrace communism and this darker side of government? Anyway, here's the quote. And this is actually a Mother Teresa quote. "We the willing, led by the unknowing, are doing the impossible for the ungrateful. We have done so much with so little for so long, we are now qualified to do anything with nothing." I believe that could be easily a motto or mantra for the true patriot movement. Because I believe if you look, there have been so many people that have been doing so many things, and they've been doing it on their own sweat, their own back, their own tears, so forth. And so I saw this and it reminded me, actually, there's a few things that kind of pointed me to this, but I wanted to share this with you because I think that, you know, this probably needs to get a little bit more coverage, or people need to start looking at things as going, yeah, you know what? We have been willing, we've been led by the unknowing, and we are doing the impossible for the ungrateful. Because obviously most of these people, even these conservative entertainers, they don't know. All they're doing is they're making money. And so we either continue to help them make money, or we actually start learning and actually start applying the things that we've learned and use this empirical data and use the facts and the truth about the Constitution and these tools of powers so that we can actually, and I can't believe I did this, anyway, we can actually get on top of all of this, this whole mess, and pull them all back in. So as we kind of move forward, what I want to do is just give everybody this this little mantra. If you want it, I'm thinking about putting it up on maybe the Take Action page or someplace like that if you want to copy it. But if you just remember We the Willing quote from Mother Teresa, you can find it that way as well. We the Willing, and it was Mother Teresa. Now, one of the things that we are hoping to do, I have not done a follow-up with candidate Howard out of Georgia. Love to interview him. Love to sit down and talk. He's been a patriot, and he's been in this movement for a long time. What we want to do is we want to make sure that we can vet through and identify for you clearly those who will actually start moving and taking a full stand, a full frontal assault in saving the Constitution and supporting the Constitution. So with that, we will try to make time, and we will try to make a concerted effort that we expose you to these candidates. Now, again, we're going to be putting up, we still don't have it up yet, but we will have an endorsement page with all of the candidates that we have endorsed for the 2022 season. Unfortunately, I'm a little late behind the eight ball here in getting Art Macomber and having this page up for him and his campaign. So my apologies to Art. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so, and you, can you tell that you really got to be able to speed up just to make it to the break? Anyway, what we want to do is give you basically these endorsements that we want to parse through and just dive straight into this, you know, the content that we have to cover. We want to get through this, hopefully, but, you know, in the next couple of weeks. But there's a lot of content to go through. And if you listen to, and I'm going to actually get all of these podcasts or all of my two-hour conversations with the Patriot Soapbox so that you can, the ones that are focused, I'm not going to put the 30 minutes of my conversation with Roger out there because he was just wanting to go down these rat holes of justifying, you know, these the sideshows. I'll just call it a sideshow. When you're going down the sovereign citizen movement, or, you know, going down and severing your relationship as a U.S. citizen, you're putting yourself in jeopardy. There is nothing wrong with being a U.S. citizen, and what they're asserting, there is no constitutional standing. In other words, what they're asserting that the federal government did under the 14th Amendment, one, there's no actual language or anything that actually provided that clarity and definition. That is an after-the-fact type of an assertion. It doesn't exist, and those powers were never delegated. It doesn't exist within the Constitution, those amendments. Yeah, they started using those things and saying, well, we believe it means this. Well, actually, when it comes to deciding what it really means, you have to go to the states after the fact. If you talk about anything outside of how it was defined and how those terms were laid out in the initial contractual process of the drafting and the passing of the amendment, and then the passing of the amendment at the state level, it doesn't exist. You won't find any evidence that says that those powers were absolutely implied or they exist in any way legitimately within those amendments. So, and see, I just spent too much time in having to repeat myself over these things, because what happens is people hear these things and go, wow, because it's not that the government isn't doing these things. The government has no authority to do these things. So why do we run and say, why do we react to something they have no authority to? Let's just start working on identifying what their authorities are and getting the parties that have the authority to put them back into their place, back into their place. That's how we fix the problem. You becoming a sovereign citizen is not going to solve the problem. And you put yourself in jeopardy and your family because you could be exported, deported, I should say. And you may not have any voice on the matter because you're no longer a citizen of the United States. You see my point? Because the Constitution does have some clear insurgencies and you know, rebellious. And when it comes down to it, if you want to live within the United States as a U.S. citizen, you're born as a U.S. citizen. The citizenship was established with the U.S. Constitution, not the 14th Amendment. And so, as you know, you want to divorce yourself from the U.S. citizenship, they could actually make laws that say anybody that is not a sovereign citizen, or anybody that is living in the United States that was a U.S. citizen that makes themselves a non-U.S. citizen, they could actually pass a federal law that says you are no longer welcome living in the United States and we will deport you and we will keep all of your property. Because that's what we did with the Tories. That's precisely what we did with the Tories. Do you realize the day? I'm only telling you the obvious of what they could do. They're not doing it. And so all these people are putting themselves in jeopardy. It's the same thing with the committees of safety, the concept of using that term committees of safety. You're creating an organization that was established, and then it was migrated into our framework of a representative government. It became a legitimate part of our government. So to create a committee of safety while we still have the legitimate framework in place is tantamount to basically an insurgency or a rebellion and or creating a shadow government. Don't do this crap, folks. Why waste your time and stand in jeopardy? Stand up on the truth of the Constitution and say they can't do these things. But anyway, the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle is a brand new paper that's just getting off the ground. And so they are, you know, getting their next publication, getting ready to send out. I know that because I just received word that they, you know, kind of focused on getting this month's publication out, or their latest publication. I think somebody was sick or something. But anyhow, I would highly recommend you subscribe to this. And I would highly recommend that you kind of look at what this person's doing and how they're doing this, because we need very similar types of efforts by individuals who want to actually spread the truth and actually be a part of this. This is all about reclaiming the Republic, folks. Whether they're in the Reclaiming the Republic network or they're autonomous, we're all doing this. Or I should say, there's lots of people that are trying to get the truth out. And my hat goes off to them, and I'm hoping I can get them on to talk and to interview them about what, how they did this, so that we can kind of share how easy it might be for you to do this for your state, okay? And if you look at some of the things you could be doing, these could be mechanisms or actually, I'll say, launching pads for you to be able to become, you know, a leader, a spokesman, a spokesperson at your state, your county, what have you. Folks, just take the effort. Just stand up and start running. You know, the hardest step in the marathon is the first step. The rest of the steps, you just keep moving. It's because you've broken inertia. Once you've broken inertia, it's just about maintaining that energy, maintaining that force and flow. Anywho, as you also know, Fortitude Financial Coaching, we talk about Gary Smith all the time regarding helping you get disciplined on your finances. Give him a call. Reach out to Fortitude Financial Coaching and get started in becoming financially successful. The next and the other important thing we want to share with you as far as endorsements go, if you're looking for hardwood furniture, go to timbernation.com. You'll find that Timber Nation actually has hardwood like walnut, hickory, and so forth. Get what you want and how you want it, because they custom order everything and they will work with you to give you what you're looking for. How could you not want that? I mean, go down the street and ask somebody to do that for you, and you'll probably find that you're going to spend an arm and a leg, because people are taking advantage of the lack of labor, the lack of things getting done, and so forth. And the beautiful thing about Timber Nation is their prices have been consistent throughout the pandemic and so forth. I mean, they're just trying to do and give you an honest product for an honest dollar. And it's an honest American product. Can't say enough of that. Anyway, our comment line, 425-270-5416. And now, without any further ado, we are going to move forward. And so where we were and where we left off, I should say, we were talking about state property, and I already kind of reaffirmed that the property within the boundary of a state that is not designated for federal purposes within the Constitution is state property. In other words, those forts, magazines for military, national security purposes, or importing and exporting, such as at an airport, that building for checking and inspecting and ensuring that the people coming and going and all of that for customs and customs inspections, importations, the taxes on goods, that type of stuff, they need a building for that at the federal airport. If you're a port, along the ocean or ocean access river, then the federal government has the constitutional authority to create a building to be able to process, receive, all of this type of stuff to account for and making sure that the goods and people are in compliance to the laws that they have the jurisdiction to make laws on. That's it. Okay, so states need to abandon the federal government. I said this and we were leaving on this note. They need to abandon the commodity credit corporation. This is this scam that the federal government has been able to pump, and buy and subsidize wheat and the food markets. And so they basically have this like emergency food supply, but they use it for political purposes, not for taking care of the American people. Every time that they've tapped this, the same thing as the fuel and the energy, they've always used these things for political purposes. But they have no authority to do this. This is actually one of those things that the states can do and should do. Would you rather feel more assured that your state can at least do this than the federal government or depending upon California to do this? Get your states to actually start creating an emergency plan. Again, this becomes a petition issue. Do you understand what I just said? Remember, we're talking about what does it take to, start getting these things that we need to have, right? And so I'm just telling you that thing that we need to get out of our government, it comes from petitions, okay? The next thing that we need to talk about regarding state land, because there's a lot here, incentivizing family farming and taxing non-family farmland for not farming. In other words, most families, they want money on their table. There are big, it's big business to get government to basically pay them for doing nothing. You know, what's your overhead on that? You don't even have to worry about replenishing your tractors or anything else. And the government will pay you to be non-productive. So a family would much rather have actual cash and actually what we'll call channels of distribution, actually active economic involvement, economic connections where they're selling on the market and so forth. Because I tell you, you remove yourself from the market, you don't work and you're not doing things, then all of a sudden things can change. And when you try to get back in the market, you go, whoa, what happened? I thought this is how we did it. No, well, we've changed all of that because the government has made it better for us. Folks, we need to be very aggressive. We'll be back on this one topic right after these two promos.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so back to this concept of incentivizing family farming and actually going after corporate farming, because corporate farming, they don't care about what is in the state's best interest. As a matter of fact, most corporate farms are global corporate farms. There are very few only operating within a state corporate farm. And so what we want to do is we want to recognize who is the hostile actor in your farming. So how important is food? Well, we've taken it for granted for so long that we've actually watched as these food companies, these conglomerates, start buying and owning and controlling to where parent organizations, and we probably could, it's kind of like if you look at the news media that's throughout the United States, you'll probably find that all of it is held within just a couple of families. There are a few people that happen to own their own, and that's just because they want to have this perceived control, but they all answer to a conglomerate, an oligarchy. And the oligarchy will determine what they're going to do, whether they're going to grow it and whether they're going to hurt you or whether they're going to modify the production thereof, because they're already talking about from the COVID. Go just prove me wrong. Scientists have already started looking at how they can use food to vaccinate you, to start changing your DNA. They realize that there's ways you can actually start manipulating DNA through the food process. They started doing this in the 80s, the late 70s and 80s, when they realized that when a person's diet increases of soy, that normally doesn't have soy in their diet, their estrogen levels go up. So why is it you think that we've got whiny, crybaby men in America and in the world today? Why is there so many of them? And not that I'm a misandrist here. I don't hate men. I don't. And I don't hate what they've done, nor am I a misogynist. The fact is that they've been manipulating us with our diet. The pharmaceutical company has realized, but by using high fructose corn syrup and those types of things, because it's not a natural sugar that occurs, it's a processed sugar. Even though sugar cane is a processed sugar, it is a natural sugar, just like sugar beets. There's a reason why they call these things sugar cane, sugar beets. But corn, and extrapolating, that becomes it's a different type of sugar. And one of the things that they have discovered is it has helped increase the amount of people that become type 2 diabetics. So who do you think is funding all of this, injection of high fructose corn syrup over the past several decades? The pharmaceutical companies, because they want you to become a subscriber to what they want to, what they're offering. Once you become a subscriber, you're hooked for life. It's almost like they're just as insidious as the tobacco companies lacing these addictive materials into cigarettes to keep you wanting to smoke more and more. In other words, they are, in a way, creating a relationship with you that will make you become a slave to them. And the only way you can break that relationship is to break your addiction. And in some ways, type 2 diabetes isn't necessarily an addiction. It is it can be changed by behavior, and that's really hard to do, but it's not what you would call the same thing. You don't go through with the withdrawals like you do with nicotine and some of these other addictive behaviors, but they're just as insidious, and their intent is just as evil. So we have to start looking at who actually understands, and I think the states need to start creating, I'll just say, resolutions. They need to start putting it out there that they believe what is best for the state is ensuring the best health for the people of this particular state. And we look at food as being one of those things. Not that we want to regulate this and they don't want to have an amendment to this, but they want to ensure that the agricultural market is thriving on in an open market, and making sure that the family farms have an opportunity to be competitive, that they want to invest in family farms, because family farms have far more interest in having to behave better than the corporate farms. Why is this, folks? Because you can knock out a family farm and put them out of business very quickly. They don't have a bunch of lawyers, and all they have to do is use the wrong kind of, fertilizer or something like that. They get a bag of rap, nobody buys their product, the next thing you know, they're out of business. Where a corporate farm can start getting away with behaving badly in one state and subsidize themselves for their losses and their legal fees or what have you in the state that they've got caught. Folks, we already know the federal government has been kowtowing and protecting and creating an environment for corporate or agricultural corporations to basically spread their wealth worldwide so that we will not be a nation that is autonomous and can support ourselves. The whole plan and design was to actually force America to become dependent just like Europe. They haven't gotten us there yet. We can still feed ourselves. But to feed ourselves in the next year will be tough because the amount of subsidizing, the amount of non-productivity that's going on in America is dangerous. That's why these states need to step in and need to start taking action and need to actually go after So we'll get into this, and we're going to kind of go through these clip by clip, and I'll try to do these at a high level. They need to create a list of crops and livestock that come with incentives. In other words, they want family farmers to grow these types of foods because they know that these foods are important staple food providers, such as livestock with cows for milk, butter, and those types of things. They want to create a list of things that they want an abundance of, and so that way they can buy up for food storage purposes, because if they go down this path of actually creating their own silage and food storage system, where if there is ever an emergency within the state, they can feed the people without people having to dip into their pockets or, you know, put their hand out to the federal government. The state government should be the one in doing this, because now we can do it locally. We can control it. We control the quality. And we know what we're getting, because guess what? Most of that food is all local food. And that's much better food than the crap that's coming in from China and from South America and the rest of the world. I am here to tell you, folks, that when we control our own production, we have a better assurance of our quality assurance and so forth. Anyway, so they create this list of livestock with incentives. Same thing with crops. Any agricultural land that is owned by a non-resident of the state, corporation, or entity that is not residing on the land and is not using the land for production or is being subsidized by the federal government for not being productive, that land will be taxed at the full rate as if it was optimal in production. In other words, if they want, because what they're doing is they're hurting the state by not creating revenue to the state. This is how they hurt state governments. This is economic, direct economic warfare against your state government. And you got this, you know, 5,000 acre, you know, let's say wheat field that should be growing wheat. It's capable. That's what, and it doesn't matter. They can grow whatever grain they want. It's a free market. But the state should incentivize the grains that they need. Let's say they need a little extra wheat this year. Then they should incentivize the wheat, because then they're paying a little bit more, just a little bit more for the wheat per bushel. The state will pay a little bit more wheat per bushel for a local wheat production than going out of state. And in so doing, that's how they kind of manage. That's how they incentivize this. But back to this whole point that any land that is actually not being tilled and not being productive is creating economic hostility and warfare against your state, because they're not bringing any taxes in. That farm is the production of that farm being silenced does not produce revenue. So they have to actually tax those farms for that non-product productivity, especially if they are being subsidized or the company is choosing not to operate. Because what we want to do is we want to force these types of land barons out of operating in your state to where they're forced to sell. So each subsequent year that the land is not being utilized, the taxes can increase for however long and for whatever period. You know, I just throw out the 5 years. But I believe that they can even do this in an emergency basis, where the state actually says, if we declare an emergency and we feel that that land needs and has the opportunity to be nurtured and harvested in 1 year, we will allow. So in other words, what they'll do is they are not going to take your house. You're not going to take anything. What they will do is they will open up your fields. The state can open up these fields that have been shut down for family farms to come in and operate on this land. They'll bring their own tools, they'll access the water or what have you, and they'll pay those bills. They may not be paying the rent, but this is one way they can actually get some cheap production while this family farm, or I should say this corporate farm, is trying to be subsidized. When that happens, when they actually take the farming over for that land, the state says, okay, you don't have to grow anything there. We will direct it that it will be grown, or these products will be grown there for these other farmers who will basically lease that land, and that's how they'll do it. So they can actually counter this economic warfare that these states have been dealing with over the several decades. Look at all the family farms that have been shut down in America when the federal government has had no business in being able to subsidize. Are you kidding me? Okay, so when we come back, I'll wrap through some more of these so we can cover more. This is all just state land and resource, and we'll be right back.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so trying to jump in as fast as I can here. So as we start looking at this, the state actually has to start drawing these lines of understanding what markets are actually critical markets. Now, I understand in Alaska, they may not have as big of an agricultural market for farming, but they probably do with fishing. So every state has to have these fundamentals of being able to provide for those people who live in their state, right? I mean, if your church can't do it, my preference would be that the church does it. But if there's going to be an overall state, or if there's going to be a government involvement, it should never be the federal government. It should be the state government. And I think that the states could work together and create a collective, collective effort in helping each other, so that Alaska may not have the grain, so the states that have the grains, they can do some exchanges and so forth and get, you know, crab legs. I'm just kidding, you know, because obviously there's these market costs of these types of things. But at a minimum, we have the necessary food and the necessary supplies to help us. And what should be the standard? So what would a state really need? Would it need to be able to feed itself for one full year? Technically, and I can't imagine how we would be in a situation where it would extend beyond a year, but I would tell you that at a minimum, it should be 1 year. Because what is a year? A year is a growing cycle, right? It's harvesting, you know, getting the cows old enough to be able to harvest. And in some cases, when it comes to agriculture like beef and, you know, livestock, those types of things, it takes a couple of years for the maturity and so forth before you have, you know, a harvestable product. But the way the ranchers, I mean, they know how to do these things. Why not let them actually come up with the strategies of how to do these things and how to benefit everybody? Now, some of the incentives, maybe the state won't necessarily pay more money. Maybe it'll give them a better tax break. There are different ways of being able to help incentivize family farms, family ranches, and so forth, so that we can revitalize our states and our countryside, and in essence, revitalize a part of our economy that has been suffering because everybody's been pushing these concepts of global dependence and everything else. So, as we start going down this path, we definitely want you to start looking at, you know, these different ways and these ideas. So this, as we look at the reason why we're doing this, where in the Constitution does the general government have the authority of who can own property within the state? Because this is the other state property issue that I've been kind of holding off on. Who and where did they get the authority? What states amended the Constitution to allow the federal government to say that a foreign entity can actually buy up state property? When did America become officially and constitutionally, quote unquote, for sale? So, because as I always tell people, and I'm saying this more and more so that people understand in this very specific context, why is it that the framers didn't allow Britain to come in and operate and set up businesses and buy land? Huh. Why did they do that? Why did they think that that would be an atrocity? Because a foreign entity owning land becomes a controlling interest in that area. And they know that that is a process of allowing an enemy to actually thrive in our presence. They have a responsibility to keep us free from hostilities. We're not supposed to have any kind of invasion, whether it's an economic invasion from China, an economic invasion from the rest of the world, and communism, or an invasion across our border of people. Folks, our government, those communists that have taken over our government, have actually opened up America in so many different ways. They are orchestrating an invasion and an insurgency against our Constitutional Republic, that as we start talking about everything and we start putting these things into context for you, as I'm doing right now, this creates petitions so that everybody can actually and clearly articulate, wow, this is something that's right there within the Constitution that these people can't do. So why is it that we're allowing the federal government, or why is it the federal government is in this position of stating that China can actually own our industries, they can own our hotels, they can own our land? Are you kidding me? And as a matter of fact, it's one thing for a U.S. citizen to buy land in other states. But when you buy land in other states, like Bill Gates and others, and they shut that land down for operations because they don't want you to have that food, they're waging economic warfare. That's why we have to start looking in strategic goggles. We got to put strategic goggles on and start looking at our battlefield right underneath our very own feet. Our state land has to be recognized as strategic land that the state needs, one, just to operate the state. And it's being proven that the states are having a harder and harder time because the federal government is allowing all of this other money to flow externally instead of actually making money within the states. So we can't emphasize enough why you have to start having petitions. Now, I don't have the petitions ready, but I'm going to go back through this. So tomorrow, when I come back in, because I'm going to lean forward on this next personal property, but there are a couple of petitions that need to be created over state property and state interests for property. So what we're doing here, folks, is every time we go through one of these lists and we talk about it, we want to give you a basic bullet point so that you can understand that this petition needs to be created. Because as we start speaking up, and as we start speaking up over every issue, every grievance that we should be having over our non-compliance of the Constitution, folks, this is what empowers us, because now the government knows that we're recognizing what they're doing and they have no business doing it. And actually, they need to be removed. yeah, there's an insurgency. The insurgency is coming from government. And they've got us thinking that they can do all of these things. They've bamboozled us all this time. So anyway, let me just dive into this personal property. All personal property rights of the citizens must be protected. Remember, I said this before, in every hall of legislation, justice, or executive authority, all three branches, the three types of halls of government, every single where these folks meet in the Supreme Court should have on every wall that they sit in these two lines, that the government is formed for two objects and two objects alone, to protect life and to protect property. Maybe that's one line. Maybe that's one sentence with a colon. Doesn't matter. That is what they must focus on, because when they start making judgments and decisions, they have to understand that they don't have the authority to take our property. They don't have the authority to authorize our lives to be removed. Anytime it goes into that, government has overstepped its bounds, because, again, the framers, Madison was really clear. Go read Federalist 10. He was right in there. He basically talks about the two primary objects of government. Protecting life and property. I'm pretty sure it's Federalist 10. I'm not the gee whiz bang up guy. I mean, I've read it a few times, but you know, it's not like my citations and understanding the ratification debates. I think that's far more powerful. But anyway, so personal property must be protected. The property rights of all citizens must be protected. Citizens cannot lose their property. Title to property or any property that they have evidence of without being basically charged and convicted of a crime. In other words, title theft is being used to take away the property from the rightful and legal owners. So unless there is direct evidence that the homeowner assisted in supporting the theft and these fraudulent loans against his own property, and is responsible for granting access to the info used in stealing the property, if they can't prove that you were involved in this fraud, then they can't take your property. The fact is that they're protecting banks and banks' interest instead of your interest. Goes back to the purpose of government is to protect the citizens' lives and their property. Not corporate property, not corporate lives, but the citizens' lives, and because again, it's a Republican form of government. It's not a corporate or a party form of government. It is morally wrong for citizens who are disabled, living on a limited income, retired, or unable to work anymore to basically lose their home to property taxes. In other words, the state has the ability to ensure that this person's limited, their income is now limited. And so what we need to do is we need to get away from actually taxing property. I don't begrudge states and how they want to do it, but states must create protections. They must actually, like a Bill of Rights, they need to actually state that no person can lose their property, their car, or anything due to taxation. That's a violation of the Eighth Amendment, of cruel and unusual punishments. So folks, and as well as other things. Anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.